Well, back to our text in Mark's Gospel in chapter 10 and verse 15, where Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." To receive or not to receive? How does it work? Well, it depends, doesn't it, on what it is and who is offering it to you. Yeah, we hear all about this, you know, scams taking place, people making big offers and promises and not delivering. But if it's a friend of yours who says, "Oh, I've got this spare, would you like it?" You're much more likely to take it than from a stranger. Why wouldn't you? Well, sometimes pride is a bit of an issue. I don't need your help. I can manage, I can get by myself. You know, thanks for the offer, but... Interestingly, there are three Gospels that record Jesus and the children, Matthew, Mark and Luke. It's not in John's Gospel, but in John's Gospel, there is an older man called Nicodemus who is told he must be born again. He must begin his life with a new birth, a new start, in effect, become as a small child. So you can't get away from it. It's in all the Gospels of Jesus' teaching. The need to be born again, to be childlike with regard to our faith. So pride, it can be an issue. Fear, strings attached. What might be involved? There you are thinking, yes, I'll sign up. And then in the small print, perhaps, you've got to do this, and this. And you think, no, I won't bother. A lack of trust. Perhaps you think, it's not a bad offer, Andrew, but, somebody else will make a much better offer than that. And, I'll trust them more. What they do might be better. Suspicion. It's too good to be true. It can't possibly be. To receive or not to receive. I just want to say two things this morning. Two things for you to take away and think about. And we're going to start with children, though they've all gone out now. So we can talk about them when they're not here. But children are known as dependents, aren't they? You see that on a form? Have you got any dependents if you're an adult? They're asking, have you got any kids? Have you got any children? Anybody dependent upon you? Children are dependents. Obviously, perhaps later on in life as well. With age and infirmity, you become dependent at the other end of life, but they are the dependents. Receive the kingdom of God like a child. They are, or should be, trusting. Sadly, some children get a rough start in life, and they lose that sense of trust and who to trust very easily. But when it's a loving family and it's a supportive and caring environment, they thrive. They thrive on it. They just beam. They smile their way through being dependent, happy to go this way and that way as they're led, happy to learn on the job, as it were, as they go and they grow. Well, I want to bring three words, and they all begin with P, so you can remember the words easily. I might even throw a fourth one in, but only briefly. And I want to bring these words to you about the relationship between a parent and child and between God and you and me. Because God is described as Father, and there is that unique relationship aspect to what we know. The first letter beginning with P is presence. Because when it comes to presence, not presents as we had with our Christmas tree when we had it at the front, presence, children need parents to be there. Look at the parents at the front here. They need you to be there. Yes, they like nice things, but sadly, often in the Western world, the nice things have become the thing, when a lot of children just want mum or dad or both just to be there, to go on a walk or whatever, just to have some time, quality time together. Now, occasionally, a child wanders off. I have confessed my story, my testimony of long ago, being a child on a Devon beach, and I didn't wander off. I ran off because I thought I was going the right way, back to where my family were on the beach, and I was actually heading the wrong way and had to be picked up by one of those emergency Land Rovers driving along. But long story. Occasionally a child wanders off, but you hope not a parent. Parents are to be there. May not have all that they want. Life may be tough, but they are there. You see it in those pictures in the Ukraine. The mothers with their children, getting them out of the situation. They are there for their children. You know, God is always there. The Lord promised he would never leave us or forsake us. And if we seek to stay close to him, we can know that nearness and the security of his presence. With the presence comes the provision. When it comes to provision, children are equipped to learn, and with certain things seem even better equipped than their parents. Technology is a classic example, isn't it? You know, sort of children learn things, and then we have to learn from them. You know, how does this work again? What do you have to press here? They pick the technology up so quickly. But it's give and take in that respect, but it starts with major provision, doesn't it? By parents, by a mother in giving birth and life, and then in the days ahead beyond that. Parents take responsibility to provide for their children. And if they do too good a job, often the children don't want to leave the nest, do they? So you've got to get the balance right. But you know, with God's provision, there is all we need for life and eternity. He doesn't want us to flee the nest. He doesn't want us. He wants us, yes, to be, you know, strong in our faith and you know, able to serve and be independent in that sense, but not to go too far away from him. We're to grow up in our faith, but never grow away. To live as dependents, as children of God. As well as presence and provision, protection. You know, when it comes to protection, parents are bigger than children, certainly to begin with. That's how it works. Part of parental caring is providing, but it's also protecting. You don't just say, here you are, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. Sometimes you have to say no. If I give you this, this will be to the detriment of, you know, your life. Sometimes you have to say no. To be caring. Parents have the wisdom, hopefully, to know what will harm a child and the strength to intervene to prevent danger becoming disaster. And when I think about that, I think about how God the Father deals with us. God is all-knowing, be sure of that. He's perfect in wisdom. He knows what is best for his children. He provides. Yes, he protects. His arm is not too short to save. But you might be thinking, well, what's happening in Ukraine? Where's the protection there? And that would be a valid thought. But I take you back to the psalm I read at the beginning to talk about the depth of the justice of God and the greatness of the righteousness of God. God is not just like you and me trying to, you know, work our way through situations, you know, stumbling here, stumbling there, had a bad day, had a bad week, forgot about Ukraine. No, God doesn't work like that. He sees all, knows the hearts of men. Indeed, will judge all. Never forget that. He is a God of justice and a God of righteousness. Yes, he provides. He protects. We can know his presence and indeed see his power. There was the fourth one, just slipped in there. Think about being a parent, certainly to begin with, is you're much stronger than your children. You know, but later on, with an arm wrestle, perhaps not. But again, the strength of the Lord, the power, the might of God is an unchanging quality that we need to bear in mind. So we are to be childlike, not childish, childlike. We're to be dependent upon God in all these areas. Jesus makes an offer about his kingdom. Be part of it. What do we say? Too good to be true? Well, I'm not sure about that. I like to do my own thing. Or whatever our response is. But if we go along with him in childlike faith, oh, what a difference to our lives. Because children are dependents. But secondly, Jesus is dependable. And that's really the theme this morning. He is dependable. So let us be dependent upon the dependable one. And I just love the way it describes in just one verse, three phrases, just how dependable Jesus is. Just hear this again. He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Three stages to this. He took the children in his arms. Jesus took the weight. Now, I jokingly said, you know, good job I wasn't lifting Livy and Tommy up this morning. I think I would have been in all sorts of trouble. Little children lifted up. But what a beautiful picture that is. You know, a lot of the paintings that are painted of family scenes with children, particularly mothers and children, have them in their arms, don't they? It's a wonderful picture. He took the weight. We talk about sometimes people with the weight of the world upon their shoulders. But actually Jesus, in the strength of being the Son of God, came into the world and took the weight of sin, the weight of our sin upon himself. He carried the burden of our sin. Having conquered sin and death, we can rightfully sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. And we can rightfully sing, love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. He took the children in his arms. Has he taken you up, lifted you up in simple faith? Give yourself to him. He'll do that. He took the weight and he gave of himself. He put his hands on them. You read the rest of the Bible, other passages, you'll read how the passing of a blessing was a common practice from one generation to the next. Jacob with his children. Moses blessing the people. The covenants, the promises that were set up in place. And when you read through, you see a pattern developing. You see the importance of sacrifice and you see the importance of a lamb being slain. And follow it through and you see how Jesus is described as the Lamb of God who was slain on the cross for us. And there's another image that comes through as well in the Old Testament. You may have read it recently in Leviticus. A scapegoat that had the sins of the people laid upon it and then it wandered out into the wilderness, taking the sins away. Well, again, in the same way, you know, Jesus sacrificed as the Lamb of God for our sins, took away our sins, removed them from us as the scapegoat did of old. He took what was ours and placed on us what is his. You see that? So with his hand of blessing on these children, and his hand of blessing on you, if you are his children. Well, we all are created children in that sense, but with simple faith children. He places on us what is his. So he provides, he protects the power that we need for living. He gives to us his very presence in the things that we go through. His touch. A touch of love, power, and blessing. So having taken the weight, lifted them up, put his hands upon them, it says he blessed them. Jesus provided for their future. Now I was thinking about this. You know, when Jesus touched other people, he healed them, didn't they? And suddenly their lives were changed. You know, Think of those who couldn't see and then could see, or couldn't hear and then could hear, you know, or had other issues that suddenly stopped and they got better. There was an immediate sign that something had happened, and they praised God. I wonder what happened here. He just blessed these children and off they went. Well, presumably nothing changed. You know, Livy and Tommy, probably going to be the same this afternoon as they were this morning, I think. Hopefully not traumatised too much with a proud certificate to boot. But over time, this blessing is seen and worked out. He blessed them. He provided for them. How? Well, in Matthew chapter 19, which follows the same story, it says he went on from there. So he didn't go around to their house and have tea. He left them where they were. But where was he going? He was going to Calvary. He was going to make this kingdom available to all who believe. He was going to give access to the kingdom and its power. And ultimately then through that he was going to go back to heaven to glory and provide a home in that kingdom for all dependent children upon him. So those are two blessings at least that were ahead for those children who were blessed on that day. You know, it would be misleading to say, oh well, we just prayed and their lives now will be absolutely swimming, absolutely perfect, top marks at school, you know, win the national lottery, everything will just fall into place. We're not saying that. I didn't pray that. I prayed most of all that they might know peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most precious thing to know in life and to know it for eternity. Jesus provided for their future. He blessed them. I mean, I'm glad they went out to Sunday school, don't get me wrong, but if they'd not, I would have said to them, because normally you can't say it to little babies, the greatest blessing, but I'll say it to you, the greatest blessing for us all is to know Jesus, whom to know is life itself. And if you find that out, everything else will fall into place. Everything else can make sense beyond that when you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. To simply trust Jesus' words and actions, to receive his kingdom by making him your king. That's what a kingdom is, isn't it? A kingdom has to have a king. But it can't be me and my kingdom. It's got to be Jesus and his. It's not rocket science what I say this morning. I am a simple soul. You don't have to crawl up Everest backwards or do any sort of holy thing. What you have to do is to have that childlike faith to trust and obey. You saw my two grandchildren. We went out yesterday. Boy, did we go out yesterday. 10 o'clock in the morning. Southend Pier. Matty, my eldest grandson, he loves trains. He's going to be a train spotter, no doubt about it. Wanted to be on the train. Isaac, the youngest one, is the same as well, actually. So there we were from 10 till 5, not just on the train, other things as well. And we got back absolutely exhausted. To get to Southend, we could have gone on the train from Rochford, of course, but we decided we'd take a car so we could move up and down the seafront a little bit easier. And that's what we did. Now, both my grandsons like cars, anything with wheels on, to be honest with you, but we wouldn't let them drive the car to Southend, okay, because they're 3 and nearly 2, and it would be a messy experience if we let them. They probably would drive into the manse wall or into some of the cars or something. They were in the back seat, they stayed there, and we drove the car, and they trusted us to take them where they were going, to have a great day. And I think we managed it just about. A childlike faith follows Jesus' lead. You know, children don't drive cars. He's in the driving seat. Are you traveling with him? Are you, as it were, in the back seat? And because they're little, their seats face the wrong way. So it's even more trust they have to. They don't even look forward. They just have to trust that Nan and Grandad are taking them on a safe way. And it's a bit like that for us. We can't always see or understand certain things in our lives, in our world. But if you put your simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and King, make yourself ready for the journey. On that journey, he'll take you through all the way. All the way to eternal life. All the way to be part of that heavenly kingdom. Well, we've come a long way from where we started. But that's what I want you to think about. Children are dependents. Are you dependent? What are you dependent on? Are you dependent upon Jesus? And remind yourself that Jesus is dependable in every way. So you follow him. Give your life and heart to him. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way, Lord Jesus, you came into our world and were so accessible, so approachable. Thank you that you weren't just found once a year in the temple. But Lord, you just walked the streets where people were in need. Lord, come and walk the streets again around us here. Walk to us, touch our hearts and lives this morning. And Lord, where there is that need for us to express our faith in you and say, Jesus, I want to go your way, do things your way, then help us in that. Yes, we'll have to turn away from our old ways, but we were getting nowhere that way anyway. Thank you that you want to be the driver in the seat, the front seat, and want to take us on that way, on that journey through life and to eternity. Bless this word to us, Lord, I pray. Cause us to think much about it and to ask, to cry out to you as those did in days of old. And thank you that we can depend upon you because you hear and you know. And Lord, you respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.